In the year 1607, in the city of Belgium, there were two young students, but who, instead of attending their studies, gave themselves up to a life of debauchery. One night, they were both in the house with an evil companion when one of them, named Richard, returned home, leaving his companion there. After he had reached home, he began to undress. He remembered that he had not that day said some Hail Marys that he was in the habit of reciting. Feeling very sleepy, he was loath to say them. He did himself violence and repeated them, though without devotion and half sleep. He then lay down and had fallen into a sound slumber when he was suddenly roused by a violent knocking at the door. And without its opening, he saw his companion, deformed and hideous, standing before him. "Who art thou?" he cried. "What, dost thou not know me?" "Ah, yes, but how thou art changed. Thou seemest to me a devil." "Truly," he exclaimed, "poor unfortunate creature that I am damned. And how? When I was leaving that wicked house, a devil came and strangled me. My body is in the street, but my soul is in hell." "And thou must know," he added, "that the same fate awaited thee had not the Blessed Virgin preserved thee in consideration of that little act of homage of the Hail Mary. Fortunate art thou, if only thou knowest how to take advantage of this warning sent thee by the Mother of God." With these words, he opened his mantle, and showing the flames and serpents by which he was tormented, he disappeared. Richard immediately burst into tears, and casting himself prostrate on the ground, he returned thanks to Mary, his protectress. And whilst thinking how to change his life, he heard the bells of the Franciscan monastery ringing for matins nearby. "Ah, it is there," he said, "that God calls me to do penance." And he went immediately to the convent and implored the fathers to admit him. But they were hardly willing to do so, knowing his wicked life. But he, sobbing bitterly, told them all that had taken place. And two fathers being sent to the street and having found the strangled body, which was as black as coal, they admitted him. From that time forward, Richard led a most exemplary life and at last went to preach the gospel in the Indies and thence to Japan, where he had the happiness of giving his life for Jesus Christ, being burnt alive for the faith. This is but one example of many examples that we should consider when meditating upon the person of our Blessed Mother. Why is she powerful? She is powerful because she obeyed. And in her power, it is not a selfish power, but a selfless power. Even still, if we but turn to her, imagine if the young man in that story, which was taken from that beautiful book, St. Alphonsus, The Glories of Mary, imagine if he was in the habit of praying those Hail Marys fervently and really contemplating and thinking about what he said. "Holy Mary, Mother of God, Mother of God, and also yet our Mother." It is important, especially in this day and age, my dear friends in Christ, for us to really strive to truly love our Mother. our Blessed Mother. Oh, I'm not saying just to have shrines and bring flowers and light a candle from time to time. No, in our heart, as one most dear, as one who is a major part of our equation each day, every day. Not thinking to ourselves it's a burden for us to pray the rosary, but a blessing, this weapon given to us by our Blessed Mother in order so that we may be victorious as her son was over death, over the devil, and over sin. Pray the rosary every day. Teach your children to pray the rosary, but you can't teach unless you know yourself how to pray the rosary. Meditate on the mysteries. Make them personal. We've already talked about this. But in order to make the mysteries personal, I believe it's important for us to really draw to our mind the reality that our Blessed Mother, the Mother of Christ, is our Mother too, and to call upon her with confidence. The more you get to know the Mother, the more you get to know the Son. And the more perfectly you know the Mother and the Son, the more perfectly you know yourself and your purpose. And then you can really start to value the reason why we are in existence, why we are here, where we are going, and what we need to do to get there. Get closer to our Blessed Mother, you get closer to our Lord. I think it's important here for us on this feast of the Divine Maternity, the Mother of God, to point to the last gospel said at Mass, the first chapter of St. John, where it states a tragedy and then an amazing promise. He was in the world. He, who? The Creator, the Redeemer, the Savior, God. The world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as receive him, he gives them power to become sons of God. Sons of God. To those who believe in his name. If we are sons of God, and Christ is our brother, then she is our mother. Indeed. And in truth. Now we understand our value. We understand our purpose. We understand why it is so important for us to follow their example. Today's gospel, we have the account of when our Lord was lost to Joseph and Mary, not to himself. He knew what he was doing. But they were seeking him and finding him in the temple. It says that he was subject to them. Those simple words demonstrating the God-made man obedient to his parents. What a sermon. A humble obedience. For spiritual progress, it is important for us to have that element of humility and obedience. Humility is truth. Truth is who I am and who God is. True humility is who God is to me and who I am to God. First, we must come to the understanding that we are creatures, and then we are children. We are creatures of God who made us, and sons of God by He who has redeemed us. I was talking to the high school theology class the other day, and I was trying to relate this concept to them that we have divinity within us. And one of the boys was astonished. Are you saying we are God? No, we are part with God in a most unique way. This is what we call sanctifying grace. We are part of these mysteries that we celebrate each year, year in and year out, if we want to be. I should say we are part of these mysteries whether we want to be or don't want to be. If we want to be a positive part of these mysteries, then we can abide in the fruits. Or we can be like the other players that we see in these mysteries. The soldiers around the crucifix, the Pharisees around Christ who watched him and try to trick him and trap him. The people who followed him because they were curious. His apostles who followed him but still were weak. And those who followed him because they loved. But before we can do this, let's follow his example by spending great amount of time with our Blessed Mother. 30 years he was subject to them. In this book, seems so apropos to bring it up at this conference, this Mass, and this month, called The Song of the Rosary by Father Daniel Lord. It reads, "There was a queen. She ruled a little house where patrons of tradesmen came to order milking stools and chopping bowls, yokes for their oxen or a Bertha toy, crutches or canes or coffins, and a rarer bridal bed. She heard their haggling near her kitchen window as their voices shrilled, and they begrudged each copper coin paid for the work well done of him who was more guardian than husband, father in name of him whose sire was the eternal. She was a queen of pots and pans, of campfires by the road, of desert flights and pilgrimages made with poorer folk. She was a queen who saw her son mounting his throne, and in the sight knew crucifixion and the brave salute of scourges, nails, the bloody piercing lance, blasphemous oaths, and hands that pushed away the nation's king as if she wore a crown. And if she wore a crown, it was his crown of thorns, circling not head but heart. In distant Rome there ruled another queen, great Caesar's wife. What was her name? Forgive me while I pause to dust the dictionary to recall a name that doesn't matter, never did, not really. And yet, there was a queen. This queen, known to a handful in her day, queen of a stable one bleak Christmas day, and queen of sorrows on a bloody hill of executioner. She is our queen. She is ours, our queen, and history's and timeless time, and queen of heaven and of earth and purgatory. Our queen, Queen Mary, mother of our hearts, Our Lady of the Stars, Notre Dame, Virgin Immaculate. None has been like her since the day Eve walked the flowery path of paradise. Before her hands, her sweaty with desire for sin's ambition and our undoing, no woman so beloved as she and so admired, so copied, and so hated for her sad, implacable rebuke to woman sinning. Name me a queen of ancient days and blush, that she be held as rival for our queen. Name me a mother nurturing to fame a conqueror, a monarch, or a hero. Then, with her claims still unrehearsed, pause as you think of her who nurtured God, made flesh, our hero, our king, the conqueror of evil and of death. Here was a queen indeed, incomparable of beauty, with a mind in depth and riches, power, facility, that could be trusted with the task of training Christ to wisdom and the speech, that charmed the multitudes from then to now and on forever. A queen one day to know the acclamations of triumphant angels, bending knees of seraphs, cherubs, courtesies, the plaudits of the powers and principalities. Yet did she walk the humble way that were to be your ways and mine, the pattern platform of our human children through eventless, one-tone lives. Who was this queen? She was his mother, and our mother too. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.